You're listening to A Conduit's Diary. This is a podcast about me, Rachel, and my experiences as I investigate paranormal activity as a conduit. This is rated R for explicit because I do have a little bit of a foul mouth. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe and rate this podcast wherever you listen to it. And here we are, episode 37. It's just a nightmare. Annika was easily the youngest client I'd ever dealt with. Well, at least to my knowledge. And excluding the random children who were tangentially affected by hauntings or a spirit or whatever, Annika was the youngest person to ever hire me. That's what I mean to say. She was dressed like most of the assistants at the rescue, with an outfit that would have fit in a limited 2 catalog from my childhood. She wore a black tube top that was cropped in mid-rise flared jeans that were so washed out they were almost white. She paired it with chunky black slides that I was 90% sure I had as a kid. The smattering of freckles across her nose was too well-placed and aesthetic to be real, as was the blush that was painted over the bridge of her nose and onto her cheeks. Her eyelashes were fake, but not overdone, and a little red around the edges. It looked like she'd been crying, but it may have been another beauty trend of the newer generation. It was wild to see them circulated and changed over time. I remember plucking my eyebrows into oblivion, despite my mother's protests, and buying the green physician's formula to erase any signs of redness. The girl in front of me was painting on freckles and over-exaggerating her blush. I'm making these comments as someone who can't be bothered to leave the mid-2010s fashion-wise. I don't think I'd bought a new pair of jeans since 2015. I still wore outfits I had in undergrad, and other than tinted moisturizer with 100 SPF, I couldn't be bothered with makeup in the heat. No, I'm making these comments as someone who's now certifiably old and marveling at the youths. Back to Annika, and not in a creepy assessing way. She was lounging in the chair of the coffee shop we'd agreed to meet, looking comfortable despite the heat and the nature of her email. She'd been sent by a babysitter of someone I'd worked with before, who stole my information from the computer or phone of their employer. Annika's email read as thus: "Rachel, I got your information from name redacted. They babysat for the Howards. Anyway, she said you're the real deal, and I've got some shit I need dealt with. No cap. How about coffee rush at 4 p.m. on Monday? See you then, Annika." So, I made my way to coffee rush at 4 p.m. on a Monday, and was shocked to find it absolutely packed. Who needed coffee at 4 p.m.? Apparently, everyone attending the local high school, because groups of kids chatted happily in line. Annika waved to a few of them. "I graduated last year," she explained. "I recognize some of these guys, but I cut all ties when I bounced. It's sus to be friends with high schoolers, you know?" "Totally," I said. And I did, because at 33, I didn't even like hanging out with people in their 20s. People who were literally half my age weren't on the short list of friends. Annika gave a smirk that I wasn't sure how to interpret. She had an iced coffee concoction that was the color of milk, sucking on the dregs of it. "Listen, if it's too loud in here, we can walk the lake." She was pointing to the man-made lake outside. It was small and surrounded by apartments in the business complex the coffee shop sat at. "I'm not very heat hardy," I said. Her eyes flickered over my hair, pale skin, and freckles. "Oh, yeah, totally. It's ridiculous how hot it gets. It's getting so early. You hear they had snow on the East Coast this week? It's like 100 here. I don't think I've ever seen snow." "It's overrated," I said. She shrugged. "I'd like to decide for myself." "So, what made you reach out to me?" I asked. I had to lean across the table to hear her over the din of the kids. She waved her hand dismissively. They'll leave here shortly. Anyway, it's a long story. It starts when I was like 10? 10, meaning a few years ago, but I kept that quip to myself. So I have these awful dreams, like really awful, and they're almost exactly the same every time, but some things change. Well, I don't know if things change so much as like, and maybe I remember them different. As she spoke, she reached into her giant bag and pulled out a journal that was falling apart at the seams. On the cover were the words, "Dream Journal," written in a faux fancy script as though a child was attempting calligraphy. I've written all of them here, as I can remember them. It was part of my, like, therapy. I don't know. The dreams are so bad, my parents sent me to a specialist. "Really?" I asked. She nodded. At first, I couldn't go back to bed after I had them. Sometimes the dreams are still happening after I wake up. "Like sleep paralysis?" I asked, fascinated. She shook her head. "No, there's no paralysis. I can run and move, but the things happening in my dream are still going on." "And you're sure you're awake?" I asked. She gave another of her unreadable smirks. "Yes, I'm sure I'm awake." I didn't miss the petulant eye roll she followed it up with as she returned to the journal and flipped through it. "Here," she said, turning it towards me. "This is when I first started keeping track, when I was like 11 or so. I hadn't gone to therapy yet, but I was Googling all about dream journals and trying to figure out the meaning of dreams. Like, it's so wild. I found so many resources of how, like, if there's a crab, you have to remember if the crab was in the water or if you were eating it to determine what it meant. I Googled the wackest shit and finally decided I'd just, like, keep a log and see if I could find anything in common. And, well," she motioned to the book, "you'll see." The first page was in a scrawl nearly impossible to read. I squinted and parsed out a few words. "Glove." Turning the page, I saw the word again and again and again. "Glove," "white glove," "floating glove." As the pages went on, there was a handwritten calendar with days of the month of September, with a check mark on almost every day. The title read, "Glove Dreams." There was an entire page with potential meanings of a glove. "Loyalty, protection, cooperation. White glove equals party, question mark. Red glove equals passion, problems, question mark, question mark, question mark." The scribbles went on like this, the handwriting maturing as she did. There were a few months missing here and there. "Did the dream stop here?" I asked, turning the book toward her. She peeked over the top of her phone, which she'd pulled out and started scrolling through while I was reading. I don't remember. Maybe? I feel like all I do is dream, so if there's months missing, I don't know. She shrugged. Like, there were some times I was in sleep studies and shit, so maybe I didn't write then. I don't know. My memory's not the best. "Huh," I said. "You said you went to therapy?" I asked. She nodded. "Yeah, right before I started high school. My parents were worried because I wasn't sleeping much. I'd wake up and start scribbling in the journal to try and figure out what was going on. Then I was like so wired I couldn't go back to sleep. I'd literally fall asleep in class. My teachers thought I was like being abused or something." She scoffed and rolled her eyes. "Honestly, my parents are too nice. My friends call my mom, Mom. So they freaked out and I went to the doctor and they did blood work and, shocker, it was normal. So they decided my problems were in my head because, you know, like when women are sick and their blood work is normal, it's because of their period or anxiety, right? So I went to a therapist and I told her. I showed the journal and then I was having the same dream over and over again and I couldn't figure out why. She was so weirded out by it. But she told me it was like a self-fulfilling prophecy, like where you expect something to happen, so it does. And it's not like you manifested it, but since you were thinking about it, you kind of moved yourself that way against your own will. That's what she thought, so she gave me some sleeping pills. How old were you? I asked. She shrugged, like right before high school. They wanted it taken care of before I started high school because they wanted me to be in like the top of my class so I could get a full ride to college since my parents can't really afford to send me otherwise. Not sleeping was kind of affecting my school. You know how parents act like high school is so important? I thought it was too, but now that I've been out a year, it's dumb, really. Can't disagree with that, I said. She shrugged and continued on her story. So they give me these sleeping pills and they make me feel absolutely awful. Literally, I fall asleep and wake up even more tired. Then I started sleepwalking. Once my mom found me pouring the pills down the drain in my sleep. My mom's not like a superstitious person, but she also isn't like reading her horoscopes from time to time. She decided it was a sign to stop taking the pills. So I did, and it was no more therapist, and instead to a specialist. She had to fight tooth and nail to get me in. They kept writing her off. People talk shit about Karens, but if my mom wasn't a Karen about the whole situation, I never would have gotten into the doctor. So the doctor help? I asked. She scoffed again. Fuck no. They did jack shit. They just hooked me up to all these monitors, watched me sleep. Watched me barely sleep is more like it. I don't know why they think going to some weird place to sleep is supposed to be like me just sleeping at home, you know? And I was a kid. I was terrified. They were like, bring your stuffed animal. Okay. Like bringing my favorite pillow is going to make me forget that there's a bunch of old dudes watching me sleep. So like they found nothing wrong and they gave me all sorts of medications to like test things out. So I kind of like blacked it all out. Can you blame me? I was a terrified kid. So anyway, they found nothing wrong and it was back home. The summer ended, I went to high school and I learned to just deal with the dreams. I don't want to sound rude, but how does a dream about gloves keep you up all night and worry your parents so much? Annika worried her bottom lip and gazed at the group of high schoolers that had since relocated to the patio. She was watching them with a look of envy as they joked and laughed. It was then that I noticed her thick makeup was covering literal bags under her eyes and just how bloodshot the whites of her eyes looked. So, it's a white glove, like the type magicians wear. The first time I saw it, I was at my grandma's house out in Pennsylvania. We spent school breaks there because my parents are, no cap, workaholics. They'd ship us out there and we'd have to stay in their old ass house, my sister and I. Anyway, one night I'd just fallen asleep when I heard a noise. Well, I thought I was awake, but really I was asleep. I closed my eyes and the noise came from the corner of the room. I rolled over and like squinted into the shadows of the corner. There was the glove. I only noticed it because it was so bright. The moonlight hit it just perfect, illuminating this fucking magician's glove, just sitting on the edge of the dresser. I sat up because I didn't remember the glove being there earlier. Just as I was about to get out of bed, the glove moved. It floated in the air a few inches off the dresser. At first it was limp, just like hanging there. And then it started to take the shape of a hand, as if someone invisible had put it on. And then it started to float toward me, fingers open, like it was coming to grab me. I woke up then and it was midnight. I searched the whole room and there was no glove. The dream happened again a few days later, and then weeks later. Every time the glove came a little closer, its hand open and reaching for me. Until one day, it grabbed me around my neck. Before then, I hadn't moved because I didn't know what it wanted. I was so curious. At first, I was afraid, seeing a floating glove reaching toward me every night. Then it was so commonplace, I forgot to be afraid. I was just curious. I watched it float closer and closer, and then it grabbed my neck. She illustrated this with one hand, closing it over her throat violently. I woke up, thankfully, but the other nights, I wasn't so lucky. Other nights, I can't wake up, and I feel it choke me. At this, she shuddered and rubbed her exposed arms. Wow, I can see why you'd be terrified of that, I said. She nodded. But you said sometimes you wake up and the dream is still happening? Yeah. Once it started choking me in my sleep, I would move. I'd try to outrun it, to get away from it, but it always gets me in the end. It always wraps its fingers around my neck. One night I had the great idea to like wake my parents up or like truly escape. I figured I'd make a loud noise and they'd come running, or if I like knocked something over, I'd wake up. You know, like if you die in your dream, you wake up. I'd heard a little different interpretation of what happens when you die in your dreams, but I kept it to myself. Apparently, that particular fear is generational. So one night, I left my bedroom window open before I went to bed. I'm not really on the second floor, but not really on the first floor. It was a small fall, but far enough that it should wake me up, right? So when the glove came, I decided to jump out my window. When I landed, I didn't wake up. I was already awake. I was in so much pain. I fractured my leg. I was calling for my parents and they came running out the front door. When I looked up, the glove was looking down at me from my bedroom window. I know this is crazy. It's not like it has a face, but I swear it was smiling. Holy shit, I said. Yeah, right? Well, then I had a broken leg and I couldn't really run away from it. Every night I just had to wait until it choked me. I started to leave my bedroom door open so that I could make noises and have my parents come, hoping they'd catch it. At this point, I swore I wasn't asleep. How could I be? I saw the glove when I was awake. So I'd scream and yell for my parents, but they never woke up. I just lay there, letting the glove choke me until I passed out. I don't know. I'd always wake up a few hours after I fell asleep. It got worse. I tried to outsmart it. I'd leave things like a net or something near my bed so I could catch it. I mean, the rest of the stuff in my bedroom was in my dream, right? I figured if I left something to get it beside my bed, it failed. I'm sure you could guess. I reached under my pillow and there was no net. There was never any weapon I could use. So I started to just take it, I guess. Every night, I lay back and I wait for the fucking glove to appear, float across the room, and choke me. She stared at me after she finished her story, and I stared back. So, you've been choked until you've passed out every night for years? She nodded and leaned back, crossing her arms over her chest. Every night. Just once a night? I asked. She shrugged. Yeah, I can't usually fall back asleep. If I do, I don't think it's ever come twice. That's awful, I said. She nodded, her eyes growing wary the longer the silence stretched between us. So, like, what should I do? She asked. I raised an eyebrow. What do you mean? Well, you're the haunting expert. How do I get rid of it? You think it's a ghost? I asked. She shook her head. No, I don't think the ghost of some stupid magician's glove is haunting me, but I'm obviously haunted. What can you do to get rid of it? Annika, I started gently, then reconsidered. After a pause, I started again. I don't think there's anything I can do about a bad dream. Her eyes widened and I immediately knew I'd said the wrong thing. Bad dream? She said, her voice full of disbelief. Do bad dreams leave bruises on your neck every fucking night? Do you have awful reflux from bad dreams crushing your windpipe? I didn't fucking think so. God, I thought you were different from the others, from the experts or whatever, but you sit there with that pitying look on your face. She started to stand, collecting her things, and nearly ripped the journal from my hands. I started to stand too, but the look in her eyes made me slowly sit back down. Annika, I started again, I may not be able to help you, but maybe I know someone who can? She paused, her jaw working as she thought over what I said. She turned slowly back to me, fixing me with a stare. Oh, so now you can help me? She hissed. I shook my head and rummaged through my bag. Look, I'm not saying what's going on with you isn't paranormal. Clearly something is after you and something that wants to torment you. I think someone sent it to you, like a curse, but not really. A curse, she laughed, obviously not believing me. She threw her hands up and started to turn back around when I reached out to grab her arm. You're being choked by a floating glove and you're going to laugh at the thought of a curse? She eyed me up and down, her gaze resting at last on the card in my hand. An occult store, she asked. Not just any occult store. One run by actual witches. And don't give me that look, I said, watching the petulant look cross her face again. You're out of options. Might as well try something a little eccentric. Have you ever considered the occult to help you? I'm more of a science girl, she said flatly. Still, the edges of her voice were less hard. I was getting somewhere. Yeah, well, we all are until something unexplained happens. Maybe science hasn't gotten to a point to understand this yet. Think of aspirin. Aspirin, she echoed. I nodded. Or aloe vera. Ancient people used aspirin and aloe vera before science understood what it was. They just knew it worked because of thousands of years of using it. Maybe there's something like that with the occult, something that in a few decades or centuries, science will claim was all their own. She took Hema's card from my hand carefully, turning it over slowly in her hand with consideration. Look, I won't even accept your Venmo request until after you're satisfied. Fair? Or you'll accept it the minute I walk out of here and take my money. Is your name even Rachel? No, I thought. Give it a try, I asked. It was a few days before Annika emailed me again. It was a short email, just a few words. Rachel, accept the Venmo request. Annika. A Conduit's Diary is created by me, written and produced by me, mixed horribly and edited by me. Cover art created by BMC Design on Fiverr. Music, intro and outro, created by Chris Hornberger.